mantra drisham variyan yan mantri no vai durikam vadanti. Yada, when Upahuta was called by Bhavanam, the palace, Pravishtaha, entered Mantraya for consultation, Vrishtaha, asked by Kila, of course, Purvajena, by the elder brother, Atha, thus, Aha, said, Tat, that mantra, advice, drisham, just suitable, variyan, excellent, yat, that which, mantrinaha, the ministers of state, or expert politicians, by durikam, instructions by vidura, vadanti, do they say. Translation. When Vidura was invited by his elder brother Dhritarashtra for consultation, he entered the house and gave instructions which were exactly to the point. His advice is well known, and instructions by Vidura are approved by expert ministers of state. Purport. Political suggestions by Vidura are known as expert, just as in modern times Pandit Chanakya is considered the authority in good counsel in both political and moral instructions. So I'll read the next two texts. Text 11. Ajata Shatro Prati Yachadayam Titikshato Durvihasam Tavagaha Sahanujo Yatra Vriko Dharahi Swashan Rusha Yatvam Alam Bibheshi. Vidura said, you must now return the legitimate share to Yudhishthir, who has no enemies and who has been forbearing through untold sufferings due to your offenses. He is waiting with his younger brothers, among whom is the revengeful Bhima, breathing heavily like a snake. Surely you are afraid of him. Text 12. Partham Sudevo Bhagavan Mukundo Grihiti Vans Sakshiti Deva Devaha Aste Swapuryam Yadu Deva Devo Vinir Jitashesha Nideva Devaha. Translation. Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, has accepted the sons of Pritha as his kinsmen, and all the kings of the world are with Lord Shri Krishna. He is present in his home with all his family members, the kings and princes of the Yadu dynasty, who have conquered an unlimited number of rulers, and he is their lord. Purport. Vidura gave Dhritarashtra very good counsel regarding political alliance with the sons of Pritha, the Pandavas. The first thing he said was that Lord Krishna was intimately related with them as their cousin. Because Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, he is worshipable by all Brahmanas and demigods, who are the controllers of the universal affairs. Besides that, Lord Krishna and his family members, the royal order of the Yadu dynasty, were the conquerors of all kings of the world. The Kshatriyas used to fight the kings of various dominions and kidnap their beautiful princess daughters after conquering their relatives. This system was laudable because the Kshatriyas and the princesses would be married only on the basis of the chivalry of the conquering Kshatriya. All the young princes of the Yadu dynasty married the daughters of other kings in this way, by chivalrous force, and thus they were conquerors of all the kings of the world. Vidura wanted to impress upon his elder brother that fighting with the Pandavas was fraught with many dangers because they were supported by Lord Krishna, who had conquered, even in his childhood, demons like Kamsa and Jarasandha, and demigods like Brahma and Indra. Therefore, all universal power was behind the Pandavas. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Thank you Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So here now Vidura has been invited to give counsel to his elder brother Dhritarashtra. So he's been invited by Dhritarashtra to give him advice on how to proceed. So yesterday we heard that Arjuna had sent Lord Krishna to the assembly of King Dhritarashtra as a peace messenger. But his advice was rejected by Dhritarashtra and particularly Duryodhan because of lack of piety. So Vidura and Dhritarashtra, they had a very affectionate relationship because they were brothers. Dhritarashtra was the elder brother of Vidura. So they were very affectionate to each other, and Vidura always desired the good for Dhritarashtra under all circumstances. And in fact, Vidura was very impartial. He was also affectionate towards the Pandavas. And he knew that Dhritarashtra and his sons did not particularly like the Pandavas, because the Pandavas, headed by King Yudhishthir, had the right to rule the kingdom. But Vidura, he knew that though they were not so inclined, but he still offered the Pandavas a lot of protection. And as we are hearing in text number 11, that Dhritarashtra had committed many offenses towards the Pandavas. And the Pandavas were very tolerant, especially Maharaj Yudhishthir, he was very tolerant. So when, of course we know, Pandava's father is Pandu. He had died when the Pandavas, they were very, very young. Is that right? Their father had passed away. And they were taken care by Dhritarashtra, Bhishma, and Drona. Because they're part of the Kuru dynasty, they're part of the Kuru family. So they were living in the same palace, sharing the same opulences. But Dhritarashtra didn't want Yudhishthir to become the next king. So Dhritarashtra was just acting in the meanwhile. In between, he was acting as a king because the Pandavas were young. So the idea was when they grow up, Yudhishthir will become the king. But Dhritarashtra didn't want that. He was very attached to his son, Duryodhan. Especially Duryodhan, he was very attached to him. And therefore, he was also, not only was he physically blind, but he was also spiritually blind. Because his center of his life was not Krishna, his center of his life was Duryodhan, his son, because of attachment. So because of this strong attachment, and because of the ill advice of Duryodhan, Shakuni and others, he committed many offenses against the Pandavas. Because he didn't directly commit them, but he sanctioned all that. So he was a king. Just like we know, even in mundane society, if any offense is committed, whoever is involved in that offense, they have to take a reaction. If some crime takes place, whoever is party to that crime, they have to suffer. They have to get a reaction to some degree. So even Shastra says those who, even in meat eating, not only the person who kills the animal, but the person who sanctions the killing, the person who is transporting the meat, person who is eating it, person who is cooking it, they all get a reaction to different degrees. And even the person who's sanctioning it, especially the leaders, they get a reaction. They said they get 1/6 of the reaction. So then you count all the number of animals killed. Collectively, that's quite a lot. So they have to suffer. So in the same way, Dhritarashtra, he had sanctioned all what was going on. He didn't stop it. Just like these days, there's a royal commission going on child sex abuse. So not only they're trying to catch the perpetrators, but even those who sanctioned it, under whose nose it happened, and they knew about it, they didn't do anything about it. So they're trying to implicate them also. So in the same way, Dhritarashtra was implicated. So when the Pandavas were very young, they were fed poison. We know Bhima, he was given this poisonous cake, and then they threw him in the river. They bound him and threw him in the river. But his poison was neutralized by the snakes in the river. The snakes, they bit him, and somehow poison was neutralized and he was saved. Then they were put in the house made of lac. So Vidura, he tried to protect them in many circumstances. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vidura tried to protect them just like a bird protects its eggs by its wings. So in the same way, Vidura protected the Pandavas. Because he knew they were also devotees, and it's their right. So they were put in a house of lac by Duryodhan and others. So he sent a message to Yudhishthir in a codified form, which said that there's a weapon which is not made of or out of steel or even other element, or not made out of steel and other things, but it is very sharp. So Yudhishthir could decode it, and he figured out, yes, it is, you know, house which is walls which are made out of lac. It's a flammable weapon. And then later he also told them, on such and such date, the house will be set on fire. And then there was a tunnel, so they escaped through the tunnel, and everyone thought that the Pandavas were dead. And then also, the Pandavas suffered when they were unfairly defeated in the game of dice. Yudhishthir Maharaj was challenged by Duryodhan, was it? By Shakuni. Shakuni? So he was challenged by Shakuni to play a game of dice. So as a Kshatriya, he could not refuse the challenge. So he had to accept it. And then the game was rigged and he lost. So he lost everything. He lost his whole kingdom, he lost his prestige, and he even lost his wife. And not only that, they loosened her hair. And that's considered a big offense, to undo the hair of a woman. And she was, they tried to strip her naked in the whole assembly. All these, you know, great personalities were there. But Krishna, he saved Draupadi by, he incarnated as a sari. So as he was, they pulled the sari, it just kept on. There was no end to it. So in various ways, Vidura tried to protect them because, and Dhritarashtra, he committed many offenses. And despite of all this, Vidura, he kept giving Dhritarashtra his good advice. And Dhritarashtra knew that he's only going to speak the truth. But still he would ask him for advice. Though he knew that he's going to say something I don't like to hear. So here it is said he invited him. And he gave instructions which were exactly to the point. So previously also, this is taking place before Vidura. These are the circumstances under which Vidura left the palace. So in tomorrow's text, which is text number 13, we'll hear how Duryodhan, he became envious of Vidura. Because So basically, Vidura told him that you should give this, you should give the legitimate share to Yudhishthir, and you should ask your son Duryodhan to leave the palace. He basically told him, reject your son Duryodhan, and give the share to Yudhishthir. Otherwise, you're doomed. That's pretty much, in essence, that's what he told him. And he gave him very good advice. So he gave him from a, as it is said here, he gave him from a political viewpoint also. Not only he gave from a Krishna conscious point of view, but even from a political point, he gave him advice. In any case, you're going to lose. So might as well you give the kingdom to the Pandavas. Of course, everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna is the proprietor of everything. So everything should be used in the service of the Lord. And the whole kingdom belongs to Krishna. And Krishna wants, the system is the eldest rules. And Yudhishthir is the most qualified to rule. And he knows the welfare of the people. He knows the true welfare of people. So he should be ruling. So of course, and he said, that didn't really click with Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan. So he said, okay, now consider this. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, he's saying. So what are your chances of winning this battle? And Krishna is on the side of the Pandavas. And Krishna has accepted the Pandavas as what is said here, as his kinsmen. So we know that Krishna had a relationship with the Pandavas. The Pandavas were, so Krishna's father was Vasudev, and Vasudev's sister was Devaki, right? So there was a, they were cousins. In other words, they were cousins. The Pandavas and Krishna, they're cousins. And not only that, even Krishna's sister, Subhadra, she married Arjuna. Arjuna married Subhadra. So there was, you know, there was again a blood relationship like that. And Krishna had sanctioned that marriage, though Balaram was against it. But Krishna had sanctioned it. So he said, look, Krishna is God. First of all, he's God. So what hope do you have? And secondly, he has a blood relation. He's related with the Pandavas. He's inclined to the Pandavas. And not only that, he said all the kings of the world are with Lord Krishna. So all the kings are with him. And not only that, that Krishna's dynasty, which is the Yadu dynasty, they are as powerful as the Supreme Lord, and they cannot be defeated. We know in the pastime of the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty and the winding up of Krishna, the Maushala Leela, winding up of Krishna's pastimes. One of the reasons Krishna wanted to annihilate the Yadu dynasty was because they could not be annihilated otherwise. That's why he wanted to annihilate them. Because he thought the Yadu dynasty would become a burden on the earth. Because they were so powerful. Because they were so powerful, and because they were protected by the arms of Krishna, no one could destroy them. They were extremely, because they were the associates of the Lord. Who can kill the associates of the Lord? Who can get rid of the associates of the Lord? So it was not possible to get rid of them, and therefore he wanted, he incited a fratricidal quarrel amongst them. So there's the whole pastime, very, very interesting pastime, which Krishna orchestrated. So Krishna orchestrated all of this in the form of time. So time is Krishna's representation. Even Bhishma Dev, he recognized that. Bhishma Dev said, when the Pandavas, they came to see him on his deathbed, Bhishma Dev said, look, you know, you have Krishna on your side, you have the sanction of the Brahmanas, and you're guided by Shastra, still you had to undergo through so much suffering as the Pandavas, still. And he said, the conclusion is, this has happened by the will of the Lord. Time has sanctioned all this. So because time is the personal representation of Krishna, so for devotees, time is Krishna's will. Time represents Krishna's will. But for non-devotees, time carries their karma. Time carries their happiness and their distress. And time takes away all the fun. Time destroys. Krishna says, time I am, the great destroyer of everything. So time takes away everything. But for a devotee, Krishna acts through time. So Bhishma Dev said, so many reversals, we can only understand this is Krishna acting through as time. And even in the winding up of the Yadu dynasty, it is said that the time factor sanctioned all this. The time, because of the time factor, it happened, which is Krishna's personal, Krishna's representation. So here, Vidura is saying, even politically, you have no chance. It is better you make an alliance with the Pandavas. So he was giving him good political advice, even from the political point of view. This is not even Krishna conscious point of view. He's saying, okay, even look politically, if you make an alliance with them, you will be better off. Otherwise, you are doomed. And even the Bhagavad Gita opens up like that. What's the Dhritarashtra Vacha? What's the first? Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre, Samaveta Yuyutsava, Mamakam Pandavas Chaiva, Kima Kurvata Sanjaya. So Dhritarashtra was a bit concerned when the war was about to start, when the battle of Kurukshetra was about to take place. He was concerned because he knew that this battle is taking place in Kurukshetra, and Kurukshetra is a holy place. So not only all this which has been described here, Krishna is on this side, and all the brahmanas and the demigods are on it, because on his side, because Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and then the demigods will also naturally be inclined towards the Supreme Lord. And the demigods are the controllers of universal affairs. So they are also on their side, and God is on their side. And then Dhritarashtra was later, he was concerned that because the battle is taking place in a holy place, which is Kurukshetra, so that will also influence the Pandavas. So everything was set against the Kauravas. It was they're meant to lose. And in the previous verse we heard that Krishna also gave his good counsel, and even showed Duryodhan his universal form. But still, Duryodhan just took it as something, you know, ordinary magic or illusion. And he, because of lack of piety, he could not accept Krishna as God. And here, Dhritarashtra, he is rejecting Vidura's advice, because Dhritarashtra is very attached to his son. So as I was saying before, I was making the point that his center of life was not Krishna. His center of life was his son, Duryodhan. And therefore, all the decisions he was making was centered around that. So we hear in the teachings, in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and we hear in lectures that we have to make Krishna as the center of our life. So we have to be very careful that we keep Krishna really in the center of it. Center of the life doesn't mean we put Krishna in the center of the home. You know, geographically, you put Krishna, the deity, right in the center of the home. And then everything is done around that deity. Or the deity is right in the center of the temple compound. No, it doesn't mean that. So, center of our life means that Krishna is the source of our security. Everything else is supports Krishna. Everything else supports our devotional service. That's what it means to be keeping Krishna as the center of our life. So our family is meant to support our spiritual progress. We are meant to support each other in our ultimate aim of life, which is to become Krishna conscious. Money is meant to support our spiritual practice. It's not the other way around. You know, what's that verse in the... Did you get a Srimad Bhagavatam Prabhu? First canto. Sorry. So I forgot that verse. Thank you, Prabhu. Dharmasya hi apavargasya nartho tathayo pakalpate narthasya dharmakantasya kamo labhaya hi smitaha. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. So everything is meant to support our Krishna conscious practice, our work, our money, our friends, our spouse, our family, everything is meant to support, make Krishna a center, not the other way around. If it's the other way around, then Krishna consciousness is on the back burner. So for Dhritarashtra, because his center of life was his son, and because he was so affectionate to his son, he could not hear all this advice. Though he even acknowledged this is all good advice, he even told them this is all good what you're saying, but still I cannot do it. Because the center of life was something else. And for Duryodhan, his center of life was his kingdom. He wanted this position. So that was everything for him. And everything else was supporting that. So his father was meant to support that. That's how he saw his father. That's how he saw his brothers. And then he saw his family members, which were the Pandavas, he saw them as an obstacle. So therefore he wanted to get rid of them. So his center of life was his position. That's how he was getting his sense of security from. That's how he was getting his self-worth from. So we can also take a lesson from that. If we deeply introspect and see what is really the center of our life, is it really devotional service or it is something else, then everything will be based on that. And our commitment and our security will come from that. So then further on in text number 12 it is mentioned, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the Kshatriyas used to fight the kings of various dominions and kidnap their beautiful princesses' daughters after conquering their relatives. This system was laudable because the Kshatriyas and the princesses would be married only on the basis of the chivalry of the conquering Kshatriya. So in the days of yore, especially for the Kshatriyas, there's different types of marriage. There's Gandharva marriage, or from what I understand, that's love marriage. Then there's arranged marriage. And then there is... what's this called? This is Rakshasa? Kidnapping? And yeah. And then there is the Swayamvara. So in the Swayamvara marriage, the prince would win the hand by... Okay, so it would be like the bride's father, he would set a challenge and he would invite all, you know, kings, the princes, whoever wants to win the hand of my daughter, this is the challenge you have to overcome. This is the goal. If you can do this, then you win the hand. So that's one type of marriage, that's the Swayamvara. And we see in Krishna's pastimes, he also engaged in Swayamvara marriage, he also in Rakshasa style. That's how Rukmini was, that's how he accepted the hand of Rukmini. So Krishna, Rukmini was going to this, to the temple of the demigod to pray for Krishna as a husband. It was Durga Devi's temple. And she was heavily guarded. And then Krishna just came on his chariot. He was riding like a lion. He just, you know, caught her, put her in the chariot, and very slowly he took off. And then everyone was mesmerized by Rukmini's beauty, all the different kings, and they fell off their horses and the chariots. And then they realized what happened, and they were so angry, and they chased after Krishna. And then there was a big fight. And then Krishna defeated them. So like that also, Arjuna, he won the hand of, who was it? Draupadi, yes, thank you. And that was in a Swayamvara ceremony. So the challenge was, a fish was hung on the ceiling, and it was... Arjuna had to, they had to look in a pot of water and fire an arrow on the towards the ceiling. And there was a fish and it was rotating. And the fish had to be pierced in the eye. That was the challenge. By looking in the water. And the water was also moving. So Draupadi knew only Arjuna can do it. And so he did it. So this is one type of marriage. And it's called a Swayamvara. So Rakshasa is, one is the bride is kidnapped by force. By force is taken. Then there's love marriage and then there's arranged marriage. But for Kshatriyas especially, one of the qualities of a Kshatriya is, as mentioned here, chivalry. And Krishna, he mentions the qualities of the Kshatriya in the Bhagavad Gita. Shauryam tejo dhritir dakshyam yuddhe chapi apalayanam danam ishvara bhavascha shatram karma svabhavajam. So there Krishna says, heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity and leadership are the natural qualities of work for the Kshatriyas. So heroism, courage in battle, these are the natural qualities. So this was their style. That's how they would win the hand. Either by force, they would just go in. By force, they would take her, or it would be in a contest. So here we see that it's mentioned that that the Yadu dynasty, the various kings in the Yadu dynasty, that's how they were the conqueror. That's how they conquered an unlimited number of rulers. We see in text number 12 that's mentioned. They conquered an unlimited number of rulers by winning the hands of so many princesses, by forcibly kidnapping them in a chivalrous way. That's how they won over so many rulers. So Krishna, Vidura is saying, look, Dhritarashtra, you had the Yadus are on their side, Krishna is on their side. All the other kings are on their side, so you have no hope of winning. Better you align yourself with the Pandavas, and that way you'll save yourself a lot of trouble. So are there any, stop here, are there any questions or comments on this section?
Lord Rama also, when Mother Sita.
Yes, that's right.
In general, put it in this, you have to drag the bow.
Yes. Yes, Jai Jagannath Prabhu. Yes. And how? Okay. So time is Krishna's energy, as I was mentioning. And time is the will of the Lord. So Krishna acts through time. And time also, because of time, the creation manifests. So when, let's see, okay, test my memory. So when Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, when the Supreme Lord, he glances on material nature, So material nature is activated by time. So by the glance of the Lord, that glance contains time and the jivas. Is that right? That's Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva interacts with the material energy, and that's the jivas are put into material energy, into prakriti, and even time. And time activates the modes of nature. And then the modes of nature, you know, they further expand. So through the mode of ignorance, the sense objects manifest, mode of passion, the senses, and so on and so forth. The mode of goodness, the demigods. So, and time, because of time, the creation takes place. And as time proceeds, after some time, the creation is bound up by the influence of time. So time goes in cycles. And time is also the will of the Lord. Time carries karma. So for devotees, the will of the Lord is executed through time. But for non-devotees, time brings the happiness and distress in the form of karma. Does that answer your question? That was the question?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, time act, in essence, time activates the three modes.
It doesn't control it.
Not really. I haven't read that. I've read it activates it, but I haven't read it controls. Thank you, Prabhu.
In Vaidic era, at that time, what was the culture of Kshatriyas? They are forcefully taking away the girls and beating them.
Question is, what is the? He's saying it seems the Kshatriyas are very degraded. They don't follow any culture because they gamble and they forcibly take away other women.
Drinking, everything.
And they're drinking and. Well, the prime duty of a Kshatriya is to uphold dharma. That's the prime duty. So we see that they take counsel from the brahmanas and they apply that. And they offer protection. That's the main duty. They offer protection. Protection from lust. They create a very secure environment in which everyone can practice spiritual life. So that's the main idea behind that. So, Kshatriyas, they are... As here we heard the quality. They're very chivalrous. They're heroic. So for them to marry like that is totally fine.
Yeah, this, they are protector of this law and regulation, and they are married in this thing.
Not really. As I mentioned before, there's a few types of marriages. So this is for Kshatriyas, this is quite bona fide, and this is how they conquer another king, as we heard today. This is how they conquer, and this is how they exhibit their chivalry. So they're in a different mode of nature, and they're in the mode of passion and goodness. And if they're challenged in some way, they cannot refuse a challenge. So we see in Yudhishthira's case, he was challenged to play dice. So he cannot refuse that challenge. It is against their dignity. So they cannot refuse that. So if someone takes shelter of them, They cannot refuse that person shelter. So we see in the case of Bhima, he was requested by this demoness. She wanted to marry him. He could not refuse. He had to. That is part of the Kshatriya Dharma. So you have to understand that the Dharma for, you know, Brahmana, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, the prescribed duties for a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra are different. And this is there in scripture. So they're not acting against scripture by gambling. And they even have to kill animals, we see. The Kshatriyas, they would have to kill animals. They would go in the forest and they would hunt. But the purpose of that hunting was to reduce the number of ferocious animals so the sages can have a peaceful existence in the forest, and also to practice their martial arts. Even today we see so many experiments are done on animals for scientific purposes, for medical purposes. But the proper idea behind killing animals is the Kshatriyas, that's how they would practice. And they would have many wives. Also, and this is also part of the Kshatriya Dharma. Because they have the facility to maintain so many women. And in society we see the population of women is more than men. So then they would offer shelter like that. But in Kali Yuga, as Maharaj was saying, it is Eka Varna. His Holiness Jananda Maharaj was mentioning, it is Eka Varna. So, you know, we cannot follow all these. Though one might be of a Kshatriya nature, one cannot, you know, have so many wives. One cannot, for us, we cannot gamble as devotees. We cannot take intoxication. So our duty is to chant Hare Krishna and follow the four regs, engage in devotional service, and act according to our nature as much as possible. And we take items from Varnashram which support devotional service, which don't take us away from devotional service. Yes, sir. Was saying, listen to a lecture by Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, in which Maharaj explains how difficult it is to be a Kshatriya.
The whole lecture was on how it is difficult to maintain a Kshatriya and be criticized Kshatriya, saying they fought and they got daughter from other things, so we pulled out a few things, but to maintain Kshatriya was so difficult. There have been so many examples of in keeping the word even to do and kept his word.
There's both the other side to it also. And you know, even if they enjoy so much, they have so much opulence, as if they're doing their main duty, who cares what they have, you know? If they're doing their main duty of protecting the citizens and freeing them from lust and making sure they make advancement, creating a secure environment, who cares? Sometimes some people say why they have so much opulence as a king. Why they're living like this, why they have so many women as wives. Who cares? They're doing the main duty. They're representing the Supreme Lord. They're upholding His will. That's the main thing. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Granth Rajshrimad Bhagavatam ki.